Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
A celebration is in order. The Milwaukee Bucks are your NBA champions. They take care of business last night over the Phoenix Suns. Milwaukee gets it done in six games. Giannis is your MVP, a 50-point performance. Thank God. Like, if he would have finished at 49, I wonder if that would have eaten at him a little bit. You know, if he would have missed both those free throws at the end, I wonder if that would have really bothered him, or maybe he would have lost the MVP award on just finishing with 49 out of 50.
No. That seriously.
Yeah.
But he was big, though. He was big, almost as big as Jeff Bezos' rocket that took him to space yesterday.
How about that design, by the way?
Everybody said it. Well,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, no, in all seriousness, because he didn't design it. Yeah. But do you think when he was getting into it, he was like, I know exactly what people are going to be saying now. Well, as I fly up to space, I've got all this time to contemplate it.
By the way, for those of you that are wondering what the design was, just think back to an object that was thrown on the field during a Patriots-Bills game in Buffalo a few years ago.
Or just imagine a Magna flashlight with a softball.
There you go. Yeah. Now that's a much better visual.
Like a cobra eating a football helmet.
I'd be a python.
There's a lot of
go look at mom's top drawer.
Yeah. Who was gonna break the glass and who was just gonna tap on it?
That's
a little
knockout
bit.
Right there. LeVar wins by knockout right there.
There we go. So Giannis is your MVP. The Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions, and so now I think that when you look back at some of the conversation that was happening with this team, the feeling was, Mike Budenholzer, we got problems here. Budenholzer can't make adjustments. What are they going to do? Did they overspend for Jrue Holiday? Is Chris Middleton a legit number two? Now all of that goes away because Milwaukee wins an NBA championship. All you got to do is win a title and everything is fine. All is forgiven, Brady. Just win a title and we're good here.
That's how this works, right? I mean, LeVar, you tell me, like playing the NFL, it's a roller coaster ride. It can be if you let it be, right?
Yeah, sure.
And that's why, like, look, you could have all kinds of stuff going on in the locker room. You can have all kinds of other stuff going on. But you win, and all that goes away for the next week.
Yeah, for a little bit of time. And then the question becomes, can they repeat? And I wonder, will this become a narrative for the Milwaukee Bucks? Because, again, we talked earlier in the show about the super teams and how Giannis said, listen, this is my city. I wanted to win here, and they were able to do it. But you do have to take notice or pay attention to the fact that Brooklyn was injured. They were injured during that series.
Don't you think that tells you a little something about who the champion is, though, is when your thought process isn't, will they repeat? Because mine's not, will they repeat? Like, I don't think that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, and granted, maybe it's because it's so recent, but I think because of the injuries this year in the playoffs – in particular to Brooklyn, which stopped them from, potentially representing the East instead of Milwaukee, but even the West and just the Suns getting, like, I kind of look at it and go, yeah, I'm not so sure that I feel like I'm even questioning if they can repeat. I'm going to be more curious to see if they can just get back there.
I don't think either one of these teams is getting back.
But then now you are a champion, but are you a real champion? Because the Kobe teams, the LeBron teams, the you name them, the Michael Jordan teams.
You looked at historically?
They're always at the parade talking about, and we'll be back here next year. You know, like, is this a team that you sit there and say to yourself, will they be back next year? And I think that determines what people's respect level in terms of greatness for this championship team. They've shown they're a championship caliber team because they won the championship, but are they truly viewed as champions, or are they by default champions? And I think that that's what dictates the narrative, and it'll be interesting to see if this now, just based off of the conversation saying, okay, everything that happens in the locker room, everything that happens in the front office, when these decisions are made and it happens to be a team that wins the championship, it's all validated for that moment in time. But how long can they maintain that? And is it looked at as a legitimate champion? Like, can you be a perennial champion?
Yeah, and look, I mean, that, you know, conversation is going to be around for a little while, but you look at the Bucks fan base in Milwaukee and you go, man, God, everything feels great. We finally won an NBA championship. We finally got it done. And then all of a sudden, you know, this will start to wear off. You'll start to sober up and you'll realize
Christmas is over.
And well, yeah, and now let's look ahead to our football season and what's happening with the Green Bay Packers.
You might be realizing too, if Kevin Durant is foot's not so big and it's not on the line,
that's
maybe
true.
They're not
yeah.
even there in the first place.
Yeah, if you were a little an 11, this is Milwaukee's not playing in a game last night. Yeah, it's, that is also fair. But I mean,
game of inches.
And now we come. Tell me about it. Now yeah. we come.
Hey, tell Jeff Bezos.
Oh geez.
Trust me, pal.
Tell mom.
Now we get to the portion of the conversation when you're a Milwaukee sports fan or a Wisconsin sports fan. And now you start thinking about, all right, so what's our football team going to do? And you still are trying to figure out what the hell is happening with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Now, I took a little bit offense to this yesterday. I was offended by this. So Adam Schefter comes out with this tweet from Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, made it a point to celebrate the front office of the Bucks last night on Twitter after they won the title. And Adam Schefter went to Twitter literally like 10 minutes after we went off the air. And I'm thinking to myself, why couldn't we have gotten our hands on that story? Like Schefter's got to bust our balls like that. Like, we can't get our hands on that story. And he said, quote, this offseason, the Packers offered Aaron Rodgers a 2-year contract extension. It would have tied him to Green Bay for 5 more seasons and made him the highest paid quarterback and player in football. Rodgers declined the offer. Proof, it's not about the money. Brady, you made a point earlier. You said this sounds like something that would come from Rodgers. I've heard people make the opposite, say, oh, this is a, you know, Green Bay trying to let everybody know that they made an offer. I totally disagree. I think that this 100% comes from Aaron Rodgers, especially the last line, proof it's not about the money. That is all from Aaron Rodgers. And I thought that Adam Schefter was the one to watch in all this, because you remember when he came out and he was the guy who released Aaron Rodgers' unhappiness, and it was on draft day. And Aaron Rodgers got a lot of heat because people felt like, well, you know, what is he doing? He's taking the attention away from these draft picks, so on and so forth. And there was a lot of pushback towards Aaron Rodgers that he's trying to steer away the conversation from these guys in their big day getting drafted in the NFL. Remember Adam Schefter goes on Dan Patrick, heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, and said, oh, no, that was my doing. That wasn't I just wanted to come out and I figured, you know, why not? It's draft day, you know, no problem. It's not a big deal. It felt like he was laying on the sword for Aaron Rodgers. And I've always felt like if there was going to be a national reporter who was going to break the story on Aaron Rodgers first, it was going to be Schefter, because I think he did Aaron Rodgers a solid in this case.
Well, whether it's Rodgers or Dave Dunn, his agent, you know, it's obviously one of the two that's passing along the information. And it could be his agent, Dave Dunn. That's usually how it works with a lot of these reporters and their sources.
Except when it's Russell Wilson. He had, you know, his agent just went rogue with those trade requests.
Well, yeah. That's an interesting story. Yeah. We're not really sure how we got into that one, but again, I'm not even going to go there. I wanted to say something, but I'm not. We've already talked about mom's drawer.
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
We already talked about mom. Yeah. Just checked mom's
Brady
drawer
going
earlier. I'm not going to touch that. I'm sorry. I digress. Let me get back on track here. So I think you could look at it two ways. Like, you could look at it as it's the organization saying, we did everything within our power to make Aaron happy. We even offered him to make him the highest paid player, and he's still not happy.
That's like an interesting
there's
angle.
Going to be people who peddle that angle.
Yeah.
And do you want to know why reporters are going to peddle that angle? Is because there's a divide that's happening. And I'm not sure if everyone's noticing. But for everyone out there that doesn't have access or a connection to Aaron Rodgers, they've picked the Packers side and Mark Murphy's side.
Oh, 100%.
Why? Because they know Rodgers has at most a year left in Green Bay. and they want to make sure that they can still get access into Lambeau. They can still get quotes and access to players. So they've got to play nice with the Packers organization moving forward. Meanwhile, the people who are actually talking to Aaron or reporting from either his camp or his agent, whatever you want to call it, they're not afraid to just report it how it is. And that's why I think, like, Adam Schefter, I think, obviously, is getting this from the player's side of this. And he wants to put it out there because they want to make sure everyone knows it's not about the money. It's about Mark Murphy and the job he's done as president of the Green Bay Packers. And let's put a microscope and see, do we want to look at finding a way to get him out? Because we don't feel like he's done what's in the best interest of the Packers winning a Super Bowl.
But I just wonder, is this a misstep on how well thought out the plan is, that if this is indeed Aaron Rodgers and his brain trust doing this, because you still have not made it abundantly clear what you want your end result, what you want your end goal of all of this to be. If it's not about the money, but you're leaving it as a cryptic kind of a approach to how you feel about Mark Murphy, does this now become a disingenuous approach to what your agenda is? Because to me, if you tell me what it is you're thinking in terms of, you've gotten to this point, okay, we know that there is an issue. Nobody's going to deny that. We know that there are things that have to be addressed. Why not address them? It's now become a media spectacle. Both sides have taken their shots. Why not address it? To this, because to me, at this point, to this degree of information being put out there, if it's not about the money and it's now been officially confirmed that it's not about the money, then everybody is logically going to take a side in this because now it's been made into take a side. So yeah. Why not just say it? Why not have somebody, why not have Schefter say it? If Murphy is out, Aaron Rodgers is in. Now, I would respect that more at this point, at this moment, versus how it's playing out right now, because it's still a cryptic situation that's playing out.
There was some reports that came out yesterday that Rodgers had his house deep cleaned. I think it was Wayne Larrabee, who's the longtime. I swear to God, this is a real story. I'm telling you, listen, man, I'm just reporting.
I just love this is where you go.
No,
it is deep cleaned. Okay, they actually had Stanley Steamer come
no,
in.
But that's where we're at with this, to where people are trying to find whatever I'm saying this is where people are trying to find whatever tell they can get as to what is going to happen with the situation. So they're going, if he got his house deep cleaned, if his membership was renewed at the golf course,
country club,
that's where we're at here, because nobody has an answer to this. I think it's going to go like this. He's going to show up. It's going to be a spectacle. And then this is going to be the final time for him in Green Bay. This is going to be the final year. And I think that's how has been steering to go for a while now. They're going to try and get it done while they can here. But I don't think, LeVar, that he's going to come out just plain sight and say, I want Mark Murphy out of here. I'm not coming back. I think he's just understood. I'm not going to try and call for this guy's job, but I don't want to be here if he's going to be here, and I'm not going to go public.
But that doesn't have to go public to begin with everything that has already gone public. That's the only contradiction to all of that is if you're looking at it from the perspective that you just presented, then there's no reason for it to go public at all, because this is a conversation that you can have behind closed doors and say, listen, if I'm not coming for your job in order for me to stay and I'm going to leave after this year, then there's no reason for us to put any type of public beef out there. The only reason why you put that type of information out there to be consumed is to create pressure. You're trying to create pressure. So what are you trying to create pressure for? To be able to get through this season and leave after that year? I don't buy that. I look at it from a perspective of saying, okay, this is getting put out there. It's not about money. We've established it's not about money. Okay, we're taking pop shots. Mark Murphy is taking pop shots at Aaron. Aaron's taking pop shots at him. And now where are we at? Where are we at right now? What is your ultimate goal for allowing this to become public knowledge? To me, that says you want Mark Murphy out so that you can stay or be comfortable and confident in who it is that are making the decisions in the role that he is in right now. If that's not your ultimate goal, then why are you doing this?
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting situation. We will get to the bottom of it hopefully here very soon, because training camp starts next week there with the Packers. All right, it is Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on FSR. Coming up next, though, somebody in the world of sports is not happy. They are not happy with what is going to be presented to you as what everybody has wanted, the money involved, more games, a bigger format, but there is a coach in sports unhappy about all of that, and you'll hear from him next here. It's Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Outkick the Coverage here, Fox Sports Radio. He's Brady Quinn. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. You can hang out with us as always on this iHeartRadio app. Coming up later on in the hour here on Fox Sports Radio, you talk about a couple of college football programs that are opening up the season coming in hot. Good God. College football season's right around the corner. We will have that for you here later on the hour here on Fox Sports Radio. So we have been celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks. They are NBA champions. We will take time away from that celebration here, as I'm sure they're still hungover. I wonder if they're still drinking right now, as a matter of fact.
Still drinking.
Yeah, like
I can confirm, still drinking.
All right, yeah. So we're approaching 7:30 in the morning Central Time, and so you think they're still bending the elbow, like getting?
Oh, I don't think I know. I've got a buddy who lives up there. Had actually went to the game. Big Packers, Bucks, like big Wisconsin fan in general, and he's still drinking.
Okay, wow. Good. Listen, if you're going to do it, why not? Get after it a little
bit. Be responsible.
Yeah.
Drink water in between.
Yes, yeah, a lot of water. Stay hydrated.
By the way, driving.
Yeah, no, none at all.
Oh, geez.
I wonder if there were surge prices in the Milwaukee area from Uber, I would imagine. Probably 10 times the price.
Get rid of that?
I don't know.
Is that still a thing? I thought they got rid of that.
I don't know. Very strange.
Well, so here's what people were doing. This was actually brilliant. They would walk like a block, and then they would, because of their location, they wouldn't be in surge pricing anymore. Like, sometimes that trick would work for people, or you just like wait 5 minutes.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, there was a few ways around it, but I remember like walking up another block. Or just waiting 5 minutes, and then as the time passes, people aren't all flooding in to get them.
Oh, wow.
The surge pricing drops, it goes away altogether.
That's a hell of a move. All right, so...
You're frugal.
Yeah,
You're not frivolous, Brady.
Listen. There is that is the one thing about this show. You get into some conversations and you discover a lot about people. By the way, Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year.
Yeah. You do it.
I discovered that Dabo Swinney's not a fan of the 12-team college football playoff, and the Clemson head coach / blowhard said such yesterday.
I met with my team. Our team wasn't for it. They don't want to play more games. And to be honest with you, I don't think it's 12 teams good enough. So you got to play more games just to play more games. And I think the more you expand it, the less important the season becomes.
All right, Brady Quinn. First up, have at it. Big noon kickoff, college football on Fox Analyst. Here we go. Have at it. 12-team playoff, Dabo Swinney. Not a fan. Not a fan for a couple of different reasons.
I mean, I don't know about you, LeVar. I'm just trying to be more inclusive in my lifestyle and everything. So I'm not sure why Dabo feels like he needs to be so exclusive. I mean, for starters, it's not like they were playing in the national championship last year, all right? It's not like they got to. I know they've won one more recently. I know they beat my Irish in the ACC championship game. I get that. I'm just saying the short-sightedness of this, because Dabo also didn't want a 4-team playoff, by the way. But the short-sightedness is the fact that you actually are at a crossroads in college football and you don't even know it right now.
Ooh.
It is so top-heavy. Because of, LeVar, what you mentioned earlier in regards to the domination by Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson. Oklahoma, those five schools have appeared in the college football playoff 80% or more of the time. That's a problem.
That is.
Because it's gotten so top-heavy, and the recruiting has shifted and slanted that way because so many recruits, what are you being recruited for when you're coming out of high school? I want to go win a national championship. If those are the only five schools, and Notre Dame obviously has been a part of it a couple times, so if those six schools are the only ones that are really showing up there year in and year out, Why would you want to go anywhere else if you get an offer from one of those six schools?
And that's why Dabo Swinney doesn't like the expansion of the playoffs.
Exactly. Well, it's for two reasons. It makes his job harder. It makes the road to get to one harder. But the truth of the matter is, it's better for college football.
Of course, yes, it is.
You are getting – there's so much less parity now from the recruiting standpoint because of that very reason. All these kids just want to go win a national championship, so it's basically one of six schools or so. If you expand this thing to 12, now you open up the floodgates for other SEC schools to potentially play a part. I know, again, LSU, they've won theirs back when Joe Burrow was there. But, you know, you start opening up to even group of five schools where kids don't have to leave. They actually can compete. They can stay there and potentially win one. Cincinnati might be a hot team this year out of the group of five that could do it. So I think this is very similar to how college basketball has expanded March Madness. When you look at Gonzaga, they just won the national championship. No one looks at them like they're a Cinderella story. They had a five-star recruit that's going to be going out in the draft this year in the NBA. Before, they were just like a darling. Now they're one of the powerhouses. Look, I don't know if that's Cincinnati in the future. I don't know if Coastal Carolina, hell, I've heard their classes are on the beach. I don't know if they can recruit easier, keep some of those kids and the talent in North Carolina and South Carolina, keep them closer to home. I don't know, but I'd sure as hell like to see. And so I think a 12-team playoff, it's a great format with what's been presented. It makes all the sense in the world. Dabo's just scared that his road just got a little bit more difficult.
Well, I'll say this. We had one loss my last year. We didn't have a playoff. Well, it actually was – let me take that back. It was the start of the playoff. That was when Mike Vick and Virginia Tech took on Florida State, Peter Wark, and those guys, Chris – I want to say Chris Wanky. We lost to Michigan. And – we had a three-game slide. Like, we lost to Michigan, then we lost to – well, we lost to Minnesota, then we lost to Michigan, then we lost to Michigan State. We would have probably put ourselves back together again and kept playing hard had we known that we would still have an opportunity right. to play for – you know, play ourselves into the playoff. And so, to me, I think that there are so many teams out there. And you, this is one thing you also – if Dabo's not being selfish and being driven, you know, in terms of what his job has to be as it represents this playoff, you got to think about if you're getting one to two guys on your team that are capable of getting drafted, now you have to kind of navigate, how hard are these guys going to play and for how long? Because to me, a lot of us went into preservation mode. Like, it's like, oh, we can't play for a national title now. We lost.
That drops us out.
So now you're going to have guys that are sitting there, and it's like, look, for my better interest, I'm not even going to play in these next few games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if you're creating a little bit more opportunity, then there's an ultimate opportunity where parity can become an actual, like, could happen, you know, because right now there is no real parity because, like you said, those four or five programs are dominating with dollars, they're dominating with television time, and they're dominating with recruitment of players, and that is not going to allow for true Cinderella stories to take place because you're not going to have the type of talent, the firepower to be able to deal with them unless you're able to say, okay, we're competing with them in playoff games. So if you do decide to come to our school, a Cincinnati, you know, if you do decide to go to a Baylor, if you do decide to go to some of these schools that are off the main beating path, then you are giving these teams and you're giving college football an opportunity to have an expansion of what it looks like instead of it being, you know, franchise driven.
Yeah, and there is a golden opportunity, not only for Dabo Swinney, but a lot of people involved in college football. And you as a fan, we're going to get into that next here on FSR. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, if you want to get jacked up for the football season, there are a couple of matchups that we will have intimate knowledge and a preview of. That'll be coming up here 12 minutes from now on FSR. So you mentioned it as far as just, you know, the opportunity and all this stuff for the 12-team playoff. Dabo Swinney, not a fan, the number of games, so on and so forth. Look, isn't this a massive gain financially, potentially, for college football? Like the amount of financial impact of this, when now all of a sudden you've got 12 teams that are in the conversation, 12 different fan bases, more conferences that now all of a sudden feel like they got an opportunity.
And games will matter more, though.
Yes.
Games. Right. That's what you got to assume. Like immediately, right, Brady, is that games in different conferences or with different teams will have much more meaning now.
The entire thing, it opens up this. Like, no one's scared to schedule that tough, you know, Power 5 opponent opening weekend of a college football season because 12 teams get in. You can overcome that perception. Like, that was a big narrative, I think, back, what was it, Oregon, who ended up scheduling as Auburn to begin the season. When Herbert was there, they ended up losing a tight game.
That was a great game, man.
It was a great game, but then everyone's like, well, there you go. Oregon scheduled a tough opponent. They end up losing, and now that may have cost them a chance at a national championship. So, you know, that narrative is gone out the window. To LeVar's point, it not only makes these games, I think, more impactful throughout the course of the regular season, you still keep that, but it's going to be more TV revenue. You know, that's the other thing that this plays a part in, is more games, more TV revenue, similar to what the NFL did. And even just expanding their playoffs with one team on each side, guess what? You get an additional wild card game now that you're selling to potential buyers. So it's good for college football all the way.
And also, another thing, so Davo made a couple of comments where he said, you know, I just don't know if there's 12 teams that are good enough. All right, dude, so let's be honest about what it is now.
Then we'll have a top 25 poll.
It's Alabama, it's Alabama, it's Ohio State, it's Clemson, and then, so who's the fourth team? Like, that's really what this has been coming down to the past couple of years. And Brady mentioned Oklahoma or Notre Dame or one of those teams. So there's no excitement. You just sort of feel like, all right, we're just going to get the same three teams and then insert a fourth team there.
You have teams that are on the cusp.
Yeah,
you know,
be a part of it. Then now we're allowed inside, behind the ropes, and can be now part of the discussion. And then also this, and I say this as somebody, and we had talked about this for a while, Brady and I was against expanding the playoffs because I thought, I don't think it's necessary. And then the more I thought about it, the more I realized, no, it actually is necessary. If we want to move the sport forward and continue to grow the sport, like, it absolutely is necessary to include more teams and sort of advance this and have the conversation go forward. When he makes the point that, you know, I mean, certain games aren't going to be as important anymore, I don't care whether both teams are winless. Ohio State and Michigan's always going to be a big deal.
Sure.
I don't care what year it is. Notre Dame USC is going to be a big deal. Penn State against Wisconsin's always going to be a big deal, right?
Or Ohio State. Yeah.
So this idea that it's going to water it down, and, you know, the rivalry games aren't going to be as big of a deal anymore because they've got wiggle room and you can lose and still get in, I just don't buy that for a second. I think that's crap.
My take on it is Dabo is looking at it from a very, very narrow scope in terms of games mattering for Clemson. Games won't matter as much for Alabama. That's, to me, because when you start looking at it, it's like, oh, wow, Alabama lost to Georgia, or Georgia lost to, you know, somebody else that's in the SEC.
Yeah.
Those games now aren't as relevant because you still know that they are going to make it into the playoff. But when you start to think about other conferences, right? Other conferences, they don't have the same luxury as the SEC heavyweights. So where they may have a come up short game and now they are out of contention of getting into the playoffs, teams like the SEC teams, like Alabama, Georgia, they will get the benefit of the doubt. I think expanding the field, again, I think it goes against what Dabo's saying. I think it does make the games matter more.
I do too.
And the reason why they matter more is because you are now going to see teams that are going to put their best foot forward, knowing that there is a legitimate opportunity outside of the schools that are always selected for the playoff to make it in. Yeah. And I think that you just got to take that into consideration.
Can we get a round of applause, though, real quick? Because there is one huge benefactor to this 12-team playoff expansion whenever it does happen. the Pac-12. The Pac-12 now gets a chance to potentially be in the mix and be relevant. I know people are just waking up on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Congratulations, folks, because if it stayed at four, it might be another decade before you have a team that actually breaks into the mold and does anything significant in the college football playoff format.
Gone are the days when we mocked the Pac-12 because a member of Full House went to jail. You know, I mean, like, we wouldn't do that anymore. Those days are gone. The Pac-12 is back. They will be in the college football playoff. And here's the other part. Wasn't it more fun last year when the NFL decided they were going to add an extra wild card team? When all of a sudden, not only did you get three wild card games in a row in consecutive days, wild card weekend was fantastic, but also it opened up playoff chances for teams vying for that seven spot. And that was just one extra spot. This is eight. So you've got eight extra spots that are now going to be opened up for teams potentially making a run at a national title. But, LeVar's point, all the teams impacted by this, all of those games become that much more important.
When you look at the pros, though, you have every single opportunity that any other team has. It's like a chessboard.
Yes.
You have the same cap. You have the same whatever. And you have the ability to build your team. You don't have that in college. So if you're not in a position where you can leverage something like saying, man, this is a team that, you know, you go to this school, you come to our school, you have the opportunity to compete and make it into the college playoff. We're not saying we're going to win it, but we can start to gain ground on getting better players to come to your school if you have the opportunity to market and promote and brand and recruit, understanding that there is more of an opportunity for you to come to our school and get the same type of exposure. Because ultimately what it comes down to is your exposure and your opportunity to try to make it to the next level when you're leaving college. So if you're a program that can now say we're on that cusp, you're going to have more of an opportunity to compete with the Clemsons and the Alabamas to get a player, a three-star, a four-star, a five-star. You're going to be able to compete better knowing that the playing field is a tad bit, not much more, but a tad bit more even in terms of having the opportunity to recruit.
I love the fact, by the way, guys, home playoff games. That first round with what's being proposed, how dope is that going to be on college campuses? That's going to be. Could you imagine Happy Valley, Penn State's in there? You're having a whiteout for the. Yeesh. That would be out of control.
I'd be there.
Can you imagine that?
I would be there.
I'd be there.
For certain.
You got to be there.
LeVar, would you be sober is the big question.
Not the entire time. For a lot of it.
Yeah, there would be there would be a cerveza section for LeVar Arrington. No doubt about it.
Cervezas and cigars.
He is LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. It's Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, you talk about starting off and getting your football season going in a hot way. We have got it for you. Don't go anywhere. We'll get you jacked up for the start of the football season as only two men can. That's next here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Outkick the Coverage here on Fox Sports Radio. He's LeVar Arrington. That guy's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox here on FSR.
You are tall, though, Jonas. How tall are you?
7'2".
Shut up.
Listen, 6'2", but Brady paints me out like I'm 5'5", for whatever reason.
No, I don't paint you out to be sure. I always say your hair gives you like another inch or so.
Yeah.
So.
Well, listen, you know. It's
so you're saying 6'1".
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I would
you
go
look
six.
Like a real 6'2".
Yeah, there's yeah.
But, like if somebody got confused listening to your voice and jumped on Twitter and called you names.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
If they saw you in person, they might rethink it.
Well, no, they have nothing to worry about.
He's
there.
In a slimming phase though now, LeVar. He used to like weight train a little harder and try to bulk up.
Uh-huh.
Now he's just trying to stay skinny now.
Okay.
Listen, there's no gyms open when I work out at midnight. All right.
Hey,
I mean there are.
Herschel Walker still figured out a way.
Listen,
all right.
That's fine. All right. Well, give me a sponsorship with EAS, and you won't have a problem here. All right, so why don't you share a little bit of the love here?
I think we're on the outs together
NIL.
Right now.
Yeah. All right, so guys, I got to give you credit for something here. I was looking at so college football kicks off very, very soon. Like a little over a month away, I think, is the quote-unquote week zero, which is totally disrespectful. Those are real teams, and they're playing real games. But we're a little over a month away from the college football season kicking off. And then I took a gander because I thought, okay, well, what's Penn State doing? All right, how's Penn State opening up their season? And, man, LeVar, you guys ain't messing around, are you? Noon Eastern time on September 4th.
Yeah.
We are at Wisconsin. You're going to Camp Randall to start off week one?
That is not a fun place. I mean, it's fun to play, but it's not an easy place to play.
Are you going to be on location there, Brady?
Yeah, I was just going to say, look – can we get all three of us up there to Madison for this one?
Because
I'm already going to be there. Could we do a show from there before? I mean, granted, it would have to be on a Friday. It'd be a little early. But I'm just saying, it would be a lot of fun, man. I'm already going to be there, LeVar.
LeVar. Labor Day, LeVar.
He's got that laugh.
Labor Day, LeVar. Come on, LeVar. Let's go. I'll wear my Matt McGloin jersey. Come on, LeVar. Let's go.
You know that's an 11.
Is that 11?
Yeah.
Matt McGloin? All right, that works.
How did they let him wear that? I don't know. They don't govern it the same way on the offensive side of the ball.
Okay, so come on, LeVar. Labor Day weekend.
I don't know,
let's
man.
Go.
We'll have to talk that through, you know.
Come on, LeVar.
I got games, man.
I mean,
I got to go watch games here.
All right, well.
But,
listen.
I mean, I would love to see them play Wisconsin. I would. We'll talk about it.
That's a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, man.
That is a hell of a matchup.
Yeah. I'm excited for it, man. I'm telling you.
And then also, look, Sunday night in primetime, the following night, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
No, I can do that. Yeah, Sunday night. We're there for
at
that.
At Florida State.
Oh,
all right. In Tallahassee. Yeah. At Florida State. In Tallahassee, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I got to give you guys credit. And Brady, you alluded to this. There's no longer the terror of, do we want to schedule a really tough opponent or do something early on if it's going to eliminate us from contention? But here you guys are playing real teams. Florida State's been a little bit down recently, but that's still a tough place to play, I would imagine. Tallahassee in primetime, week one when everybody's fired up about it. So, I mean, if you want to get started, if you want the college football season started off right, I feel like Penn State and Notre Dame are doing it right to kick off the season.
No, I'm a little concerned about this one, too. All right? I mean, there's a few reasons. The first is the fact that, obviously, Ian Book's gone. He got drafted by the Saints. He's moved on. Their offensive line, now they did get a good grad transfer out of, from Marshall. So that group should be okay, but they lost four of their starters from a year ago. So there's a lot of questions a little bit offensively, I think. And then for Florida State, they got this kid. Remember McKenzie Milton? He played quarterback at UCF, had a tragic knee injury.
Yeah, hurt his knee bad.
He transferred. He's at Florida State now. Now, I'm not exactly sure if it'll be him or I think Brock Purdy's brother might be there too, Chubba Purdy. But Florida State's got some talent, I'm telling you. I don't feel great about with everything Notre Dame's trying to transition to and then that matchup to start the season, man. I don't know. It's going to be a tough one.
I mean, that first week.
I'll go there for that. That's a Sunday.
Yeah, Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And I'll be warm. And toasted.
It's going to be warm. It's going to be warm in Madison,
on,
Wisconsin in September.
I wasn't talking about the weather.
All right, fair point. All right, so maybe we can investigate that. But no, I just think, man, week one of the college football season, how jacked do you get? Doesn't it bring back the good stuff?
That's like exciting.
I
didn't leave anything on the table in college, so I don't have any moments like the Hall of Fame deal. So
I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Brady is in South Bend getting things
Enjoy,
done there.
Enjoy, man. Congrats. Congrats and good luck on that, bro.
All the success there for Brady
that.
Quinn. We're going to be back tomorrow. It is Outkick the Coverage right here at Fox Sports Radio. If you missed any of the show, check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.